as we go into the beginning of our new year. We had a great Christmas service this morning. Christmas message, it was a little different. And if you weren't able to listen to it, you can go online and you can listen to it online. And I want to thank our worship team tonight. This worship was just overwhelming. And I'm just so appreciative of our young folks here. God is just doing so many great things among us, and I'm so very humbled by that. I know this week we're going to be the official Christmas week. I think they call it Advent week. I'm not for sure all the various titles that the week carries. But I just love this time of year. And the only thing that would make it nicer is if we had some snow on the ground. Because I don't mind winter. I don't mind the cold if we got snow with it. But there's nothing worse than 40 below and dirt. That's just me, okay? I don't feel all special and wintry, and if we're gonna have the cold, it's like, you know what? Let's have some snow along with this, and let's cover some of this dirt up for a little while. But sounds like we're gonna have a brown Christmas. But anyway, but after Christmas, we're gonna be moving into the year of a new year. Year 2020. I remember back in junior high school, and I'm going to make a little bit of reference to that tonight, a little later, but I remember watching a video. It was a movie, the 16mm movies. Remember, we're going to date ourselves, some of us older folks here. It wasn't VHS, that hadn't been invented yet. But they had the old 16mm, and the title of the movie was called Future Shock. I don't know if any of you ever watched that in your school. Must have been one that it was required by everybody. But I still remember in that movie all of the different things that they were trying to, get our young minds accustomed to, or thought processes. I don't know what you... But one of the things is if you're a Star Trek fan, Abby is, Jordan is. I know there's a lot of Star Trek fans, but they used to carry around these little tricorders. Remember those? And we used to laugh about that because they had these little devices in Future Shock talking about the year 2020. That you're going to be able to have these tricorders type device, and you're going to be able to talk to people anywhere at any time. And it's going to be like a handheld computer. Most of us, we didn't even know what a regular computer looked like, let alone a handheld computer. And they show all these different gadgets and stuff. And I begin to think back as we are approaching 2020, and it's like, yeah, our gadgets were better than their gadgets. Time keeps moving on. And as we move into a whole new dimension in time and dimension in space and years, I believe that God also is challenging us to move into a different dimension in the spirit realm. So we're going to be going into a 21-day fast, and I know some of you have been wondering what are we doing as we go into the new year. I'm just going to share a few of this and we'll get into our message. But week one is going to be a tricorder fast. Okay, we're those little handheld gadgets that we all have become accustomed to living with. I'm just going to ask you if you would just, I know it's your phone, you can use it as a phone. In your home, we don't even have a landline anymore. We don't even use it, but we're just going to go on a media fast. And during that media fast, get away from spending so much time allowing other things to stimulate our minds. We're going to spend that week reading the Word. We're in a series that we've started, The Power of One's Words. And there's nothing more powerful than reading and applying the Word of God into one's mind. Okay, so that's going to be our week one, our focus. Then we're going to enter into the Daniel's Fast. Some of you, this would be a very easy transition for you. But we're going to go into the Daniel's Fast. And Daniel was on a 21-day prayer fast. He was praying, seeking for an answer. So we're going to pray the Word. We're going to focus. And I'm hoping as we get into this that our families can pray together. Our fathers can teach their children how to pray the Word. And then we're going to go into what week three will be. And I'm just going to label this one as a sacrificial fast, which means whatever it is in your life that you feel like you can't live without, I'm going to ask you to fast for 1 week from whatever that may be. And we're going to ask you not, we're going to go from reading the Word to praying the Word to living the Word, and living the Word encompasses sharing the Word. So that's going to be our 3 weeks of focus when we get into January, and we'll bring you up to speed on this and have some handouts for you a little bit later. We'll get through the Christmas season and get into the new year. The mind can only just deal with so many things at one time. And I've just found out that if you're way ahead of the game, sometimes it's nice to be early, but sometimes everybody's busy about Christmas. We're going to focus about Christmas, get through that, and then we'll look into January. I started on Wednesday evening. We had a five spot, and Brother Calvin Wells shared some. Now, it's funny, when I first started preaching, I still am an emotional guy, okay? I became emotional when I started working in plumbing. And I'm just kidding. Construction, most construction guys don't show a lot of emotion. It's a long story, but anyway, I kind of, after retiring from construction, getting involved, God just really changed my heart. He changed my mind, changed my attitude, changed my words. Sometimes I feel like I've got portions of our lives. I've lived portions of my life in various chapters of a book. And that was a chapter that seems to be very, very long time ago. But I struggled when I first started speaking, public speaking, with emotions. And Kelvin was kind of teasing me a little bit the other night about emotions when I speak. And I just want to congratulate you, Calvin, for going through a box of Kleenexes. It's a little more difficult when you're up here and you're having to take and talk about things that's very dear to your heart. But so we started a series, and The Power of One's Words. And I'm going to kind of jump into this. I really literally got about two pages into this message. And I'm gonna read tonight, starting we're going to go to Matthew 7:17, 7:18. Jesus, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus speaks. He says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Now, if we were to translate this into what Jesus was really saying, is he says, even so, every good person produces good fruit. But a corrupt person produces evil fruit. A good person can't produce evil fruit, neither can a corrupt person produce good fruit. He was making references. Bless you. That was a good one. I felt that up here. You see, we're not trees. Jesus wasn't referring to trees. He was referring to individuals. And the words that we speak as individuals can be, he was using those as fruit, so we can be identified by the words that we speak. Now, I've traveled a lot over the country. We grew up in the South. Our whole family was born in Texas. And listen, you can go from West Texas to East Texas, and there's a vast difference in the fruit that people speak. If we're using words as fruit, okay? You get into deep East Texas and some of our relatives and friends, if I don't pay very close attention to what they're saying, I can't understand them. Now you get out into West Texas and it's totally different. It doesn't sound like they even have a Texas accent. You get down around Houston, it's a different accent. You get up toward Dallas, and you get up along the Panhandle, up in the higher parts of Laredo and up Amarillo. It's different wherever you go. Now, I can get in my vehicle, and I can leave Madison, Wisconsin. I can go south, and I can hit Rockford. And you pick up just a little bit of a southern accent, but by the time you get to Bloomington, you understand Bloomington, Illinois, you're no longer in the Midwest when it comes to accent. You go up to northern Wisconsin, and it's yah, it's hey, it's yah dare. You get up on a peninsula, and it's totally different. You see, you are betrayed by your fruit. You're betrayed by your words. So we look at today, we look at Christians today. We look at the fruit that we speak. We're identified by that fruit. There's Christians today who love to gossip about other people. They like to slander. They like to backbite. That is not good fruit. Jesus says, in Matthew 12:36, he says, "And I say to you that every careless word that they will speak, men will give an account in the day of judgment." This is a pretty harsh scripture. This is a pretty difficult passage of scripture to deal with, that we will give an account for every word that we speak. We look at Luke 6:45, and Luke puts it this way: a good man out of a good treasure of his heart bring forth good, and an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So when it comes to your mouth, when it comes to our words, our mouth reveals the contents of what's inside of our heart. Now, when we think about this, it's really not the heart that's beating blood and taking that blood and spreading it around in our circulatory system. It's not the heart, that heart, that's evil. The Bible says that as a man thinketh, so your thinking process, your words begin in our mind. If I'm thinking something right now, it's not beginning in my heart. It's beginning in my mind. And I've said this before. There's a little spot in our brain about the size of a ping pong ball that controls our emotions, our personality, who we are, why we behave the way we behave. It all comes from that one little spot in our brain that where our reasoning, where our personality comes out of. So as our mouth, what comes out of our mouth reveals the contents of what a person is and who that person is. So Proverbs 21:23 tells us this is a spiritual discipline that we have to learn, not just as a Christian, but as a good person. If we want to be a good person, this is one of those spiritual disciplines that we need to learn. It's a principle. So what comes out of your mouth reveals what you're thinking. As Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Oh, I could stop right here and spend a long time just on that little bit. If you go back in history, people's comments, negative comments, have started wars. If you're ever familiar with some of the Klan fighting back and forth here in the earlier days in America, we can go back in the Hatfields and McCoys. We've all heard it's a war of words. It started over fussing and fighting with words. It's what someone says, and then because someone says something, then you have to retaliate. You see, words that come up out of our mouth, we have to understand, have a much greater power than what we realize. Now, this is going to tie in, and we're going to tie this all together with declaring and decreeing and having prophetic words. And you may look at me tonight and say, but Pastor, I don't believe in prophetic words. I don't believe that we can say things prophetically and it happen. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not careful as a parent, you can call your child foolish and stupid long enough that your words will become prophetic in their life. So don't tell me there's not power in prophetic words. Maybe you've been told your whole life that you will never amount to anything. Somebody placed a seed and placed a prophetic word into your heart and into your mind, and you begin to believe that. So there is power. There's power, much more power than we realize. You see, it's in our words that we can either tear down an individual, tear down a relationship, or we can build that relationship up. It all depends upon what we say. Listen, talking badly about someone while they're not there, if you're going to trash talk someone and they're not there, says much more about you than the person you're talking against. It reflects what's in your heart, what's in your mind. I like to think, we talk about gossip. Man, we could really get off in this, but I'm going to cut this short, and I'm going to be real sharp with this. People who spread rumors, people who bully. Listen, rumors are carried around by people who hate. They're spread by fools who listen, and they're accepted by the idiots who listen to it. That is a pretty tough pill to swallow, and I just want to thank Pinterest for that. You see, words can hurt. We say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me. Whoever came up with that jingle never went through seventh grade, never went through eighth grade. They never were bullied any time in their life. Listen, when I was in seventh and eighth grade, I was skinny. There is not a young man in this church that was as skinny. When I got married, I weighed 120 pounds at 18, almost 19 years old. I was just like, I remember Brother Ron Wittenbach. This was so embarrassing. He'd come up with me, and he could take his thumb and his second finger and put it around my arm. And I used to think, man, am I ever going to get big enough to where Brother Ron can't, we called it pinkied. I don't know where that name came from, but would I ever get to this point to where Brother Ron can't put his fingers around my arm? And I remember after we got married, I decided that I was going to lift weights, and I was going to put some bulk on these bones of mine. And I went to the weight store, and I bought a gallon canister of this stuff that's supposed to make you bulk up and look like Charles Atlas. Back then, you didn't have Arnold Schwarzenegger, wasn't big yet, but it was Charles Atlas. And they had that little commercial in the back of the comic books of the little skinny guy, and the bully was kicking sand on him on the beach. And I was that skinny guy. And we always had that bully that was always going to pick on me in school. And I was determined that I was going to bulk up. So I bought some weights. I could hardly carry them things. I had to make like 3 trips to get them down in the basement because they weighed more than I did. And I get down there, and I'm so proud of this, and I'm taking this junk, a scoop of this stuff every day. And this stuff was expensive, even back then. And it was chocolate-flavored. And it's supposed to make you bulk up. I don't know what was in this stuff, but then I mixed 2 raw eggs and stirred them up, and it was like gross. And then I mixed milk with it or water. You could do either one, and it was just like, this is horrible, but man, I'm feeling power. Man, I lifted weights and lifted weights and lifted weights. My arm looked like a toothpick with a pea on it. I mean, I couldn't get there. I tried. But you see, I was that way most of my life. I don't know. Something with ministry is what changed that. Because when I came to work here, I wasn't where I'm at now. I'm going the other direction, thankfully. But you know, you get bullied. I was bullied because I was skinny, little kid, and it was real easy to pick on me. And there were people that made it their mission to make my life miserable. But you see, I began to learn about how bullies act. I began to learn about character traits of bullies. And I knew an individual who could be quite a bully at times. And the longer I knew this person, the longer I had a relationship with this person, the more I began to realize that this man, as strong as he wanted people to believe that he was actually one of the most insecure individuals that I ever met in my life. And I found out about people who bully. People who bully either physically, people who bully using their words. Most people who bully are so insecure inside, they can't stand themselves, and they're jealous. Not for sure why this is. Do we have any bullies in the place here tonight? Are you a bully here tonight? You see, most people who bully others are broken inside. They really are. They're hurting, they're suffering, and they're struggling. And when they're confronted with someone who's full of self-confidence, they crumble. But you see, we got to understand something. God is not a bully. God is not going to come in and bully his way through my life. He's not going to force me to do something that I don't want to do. He's not going to tell me either you do this or all hell's going to break loose in your life. And I got to understand something else, that I was made in the image of God. And if God's not a bully, that means I shouldn't be a bully. And we have been given authority. Understand something. We've been given authority, and we've been created to have dominion over the earth. And dominion over is not bullying over. It means that God says, I'm going to build you the perfect world to live in, and I'm going to put you in charge of it, Adam. I'm going to put you in charge of it, Eve, not to bully over the poor rhinoceros, not to bully over the zebra because of his stripes, not to bully over the ostrich because his head is as long as his feet. That's not what you're here to take and oversee it. You're to have dominion over it. You're the top of the food chain. Feels good to be the top of the food chain, but it depends where you are. I guess if I'm out in the Rocky Mountains and there's a grizzly bear somewhere close, I'm not the top of the food chain. But you see, God created us to have dominion over the earth, not bully over it. Job 22:28 says, you will also declare a thing, and as it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. And we look back at that expression. We started this series off with that expression of you are what you eat. Remember that Wednesday? You are what you eat. But the truthful, more truthful words really would be saying you are what you speak. The rest is talking about a physical truth, but we're not just physical beings. When we look out tonight, what I'm looking at right here tonight is I'm looking at the physical entity of John Seidel. But I understand when God created him, he gave him a physical form, but he gave him a soul and a spirit. I can't see his soul. I can't see his spirit, but through his words. It's through our words. It's what we say that tells me what his soul and his spirit is. When we have an animal, we used to have horses, and we would say, boy, that horse has a good disposition. I don't go up to Brother Michelle Pena and pat him on the back and say, brother, you got a good disposition. No, he's got a great personality. He's got a good heart. That's how we refer to that. So I'm looking out here tonight, and I'm seeing a whole bunch of flesh. I don't see the spirit. I feel the spirit. I can feel that. Deuteronomy 8:3, reading the second half of this verse, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 15:10-11 says, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said unto them, hear and understand. So it's not just important, Brother Peter, that we hear words as they're being spoken, but it's important that we understand those words. So we're laying down a foundation here as we get into this series that no one will be able to have an excuse if they don't understand what I'm trying and what God is trying to say. We look at Matthew, and Matthew 5 or 15, 10 and 11, when he had called a multitude to himself, he said unto them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. You see, we are spiritual beings. We were created spiritual beings. It's not what goes into our flesh, but it's what comes in our heart. It's what comes into our minds that can damage us. It is what comes out of your mouth. It's what we say, folks. It's our speech that yields your outcome. In other words, your declaration of words sets your direction. Did you know that? What you declare in words sets your direction. Your proclamation, how you proclaim those words, determines your position. Your speech releases your success, and your confession delivers your conquest, and your voice releases your victory. Your words produce results, and results produce your blessings. You see, it was words that were spoken over Jacob that gave him the birthright. It was words that were physical words that were spoken. When he asked for the birthright, when he was tricking his brother Esau, and he had to go, and he understood he had to somehow take his words and deceive his father so he could get the birthright from his older brother. It was words that were spoken over Jacob that gave him the birthright. Physical words. You see, it was words spoken. when he ran into the angel and he wrestled with the angel all night. It was words that were spoken over him by an angel. So we have words spoken over him in the physical by his father. Now we have words spoken over him in the spiritual by an angel, yet it affected the physical. So we have to understand it's the result of words. Both physical and spiritual words. So when I say your physical words matter and your prophetical spiritual words matter, yes, they do matter. There is power and there is authority. Now we have to understand there's another principle. And I want to end with this principle tonight. There's another principle that enters into here that we don't always want to deal with when it comes to our words, both physical and spiritual. But on the third day, I believe, of creation, when God created the plants and he created the trees, he says that every tree and every plant is going to come after its own kind. We talked about, Brother Peter talked about mustard seed. You plant a mustard seed, you will not get a tomato plant. Why is that? Because God put into motion a principle, and it's called the principle or the law of sowing and reaping. It works in the physical with tomato plants, and it works in the spiritual as well. So we have to understand, we have to confess or acknowledge that there's a spiritual principle at work in our lives when it comes to words. Galatians 6:7 puts it so well. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So let's just take a look at what we've already learned here. Perhaps a little bit of a review, because I don't want us to lose this. The power of words, the principle of sowing and reaping, it's a powerful principle, and it's a principle which can be used as a powerful weapon. So let's just follow along as we look into the Bible as a whole. We have the Old Testament, and then we have the New Testament. And between those two halves, if we refer to it as that, we have 400 years of silence. I spoke about this a little bit this morning in our Christmas message. And this silence separates the Old Testament from the New Testament. And it was during this time in which the Lord did not speak to his people. But you have to understand for a minute that if you can imagine a 400-year period without such a whisper from God, this dispensation, this space of time, was when heaven was totally silent and the heavens were shut up. But John the Baptist, who was a prophet, he broke through the 400 years of silence and was used mightily as a man of God to break open unprecedented moves of God's Spirit. And we have to be careful, church. We have to be very careful, because when heaven is silent and when God is silent, so I want you to understand in your own life, if God is silent in your life, and maybe perhaps you're struggling to focus on the words that God is trying and to push through, when God is silent, it becomes a time when God begins to amplify his voice. And he's amplifying the voices in which he's seeking to raise up from obscurity. And many Christians today struggle with the fact of hearing the voice of God and hearing the words of God and recognizing what his voice sounds like. And they often question this voice. They often question these words as whether his prophetic words or whether the words of prophecy in their life is for today. I just want, as we get, I'm going to end tonight with this at this point. So if our musicians can come. I believe strongly, church, that we are in the last days. When Scripture refers to the last days, we are living in them. And it has been far too long that God's voice has been silent in our churches. I'm not just talking about Pentecostal churches. God desires to have a voice in every church. God, if we don't have enough John the Baptist to come out of our church and become a prophetic voice, God will raise up a voice because he will be heard. And sometimes we struggle because we're not used to listening to the voices that come out of obscurity. But John the Baptist came from as obscure could be. But he made way. He made way for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So there will be voices that God is seeking to rise up from obscurity. And those voices that God is seeking to use are going to be men and women from this congregation that are sitting among us. Does the scripture not say that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. You see, the prophetic word is a powerful tool that God desires his church to have. And we're going to enter into this, and we're going to talk about this for a few more weeks. Because as we go into 2020, you can stand to your feet tonight. As we go into 2020, and we go into our fast, and we begin to read the word, and we begin to apply the word, and pray the word, and we begin to live the word, we cannot read the word, pray the word, and live the word without the prophetic word affecting our lives. So tonight is a challenge. It's a challenge. I believe that the Spirit of God desires to flood across the world in which we live in. I believe the Spirit of God desires to flood across our county. He desires to flood across our community. And he desires to use. Who else does he have to use? He wants to use our young men and women. And the power of prophetic words. He wants to use our old men. He wants to use our elderly. He wants to use everybody. And most of the time, the reason that we don't allow ourselves to be used is because we're fearful of the own words that God desires us to speak out of our own mouths. And we're going to enter in to that fear territory. Years ago, there was a TV show, Fear Factor. And every Fear Factor was closed out with this statement: evidently, fear is not a factor for you. Church, we have to get over our fear factor when it comes to our words. So as our praise team begins to sing, I just want to open up this altar. Anyone desires to pray and say, God, I'm struggling with fear in my life. I'm struggling with various, whatever issue it may be. I just want to offer us a chance. God desires to speak into your mind. He desires to speak into your heart. So church, let him speak. Let him speak. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. I don't know what God sounds like.